Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Trust. A couple came into the office today, and first time I've seen one of them, the second time the other one. And you know, there's so much distrust out there. They come in with this guard up. I'll tell you, I just let the Holy Ghost flow. I just be me. You know, people are smarter than you think. If you try to be somebody you're not, they figure that out. Just be you. And if you're really who you need to be, then they'll trust you. And trust is something that you have to earn. Now, even with God, he said, prove me and see. He's never broken my trust. Everything he's ever promised, he's brought to fruition. So the more he proves himself, the more I have trusted him. Till now, I trust him completely. If I find myself in the pit tomorrow, trust me, I trust him. Hallelujah. If I find myself being sold for 20 pieces of silver, trust me, I trust him. If I found myself with false accusations that aren't true, trust me, I trust him. That's a good sermon right there. Trust me, because I trust him. He's able to deliver me. He may not deliver me out of the fiery furnace, O King, but trust me, he's able to deliver me out of your hands today. I got that much trust in him. I better preach tonight. Exodus 2 and 10. Amen. Good to see Brother Terry with us tonight. Good. He's my favorite cousin. Hallelujah. Still my favorite cousin. I don't have any other cousins here, do I? I won't cause any enemies. Good to see Brother Douglas here tonight. Hallelujah. Walking miracle right there. Yes, sir. And I'm excited about Caden getting the Holy Ghost. You'll see. I'm telling you, that video, I've shared it, two of them, with many different people. And it's wonderful. I got a burden for those kids some time back, as you know. I told y'all I'm focusing on those kids. I'm focusing on those kids. Because we cannot afford to raise up kids in the church and them not get the Holy Ghost. We cannot afford that. I cannot afford that as the pastor. If you adults decide not to live for God, that's your business. But these kids, we can train them. I need your help to train those kids to love God. Exodus 2:10, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. I want to talk about drawn out. Lord, I come before you tonight. I'm thankful for your word. I'm thankful for your mercy. Above all things, God, I could be thankful for, it is your mercy. Hallelujah. And your grace. For while we were yet sinners, Lord, you died for us. What great mercy you had towards us. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for reconciling the differences between God and man through Jesus Christ. Be with us tonight and teach us your word in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I'd like to continue reading a little further. She called his name Moses because he had been drawn out. Then let's go, Moses grew. And let's go to Exodus 3 and 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro. This is obviously some time later. He has fled from Egypt because of what he did while he was over there. And now he finds himself as a servant, if you will, to his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock on the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside to see this great sight. The great sight was, why is the bush not burnt? It wasn't the fire, it was that the bush wasn't consumed. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereupon thou standest is holy ground. Then verse 10, come now, therefore, and I will send thee to Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth or draw out my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. I want to talk about being drawn out tonight. Whether you know it, I know there's a song that they sing to each other when they're getting married, one in a million. You ever heard that? You're one in a million. Yeah. Oh, don't act like y'all don't listen to those songs. One in a million. Haven't you heard that? Yeah, you heard that. We're here to tell you, you're one in a million. Maybe 10 million or more that has been drawn out. You don't know how blessed you are tonight to even be able to feel God like you feel God. He has drawn you out of this world, placed your soul in a place where He could draw it. Drawing is a pulling force from something that has perhaps had a hold of you or held you back. And to withdraw is to go back into the place you once were. When people have been on drugs, they have withdrawal syndrome because their body is trying to go back to what has drawn them away. So they withdraw to go back. And let me tell you, God draws people. If you try to go back, there's some withdrawal syndrome. You never get it. Once you know this truth, honey, you will never escape it. As they say, you can run, but you can't hide. David said, where would I go? If I went to the highest mountain, you're there. If I ascend to the bottom of the sea, you're there. If I go into the belly of hell, you'll say, boo, I'm right here too. He's everywhere. You can't run from God once you know Him. People that don't know Him, some don't even think He exists. And so to draw something out, I want to hear, you ever heard that them say, boy, it was a long, drawn-out process. Yeah, you know, just if you don't understand what I'm talking about, go to the Social Security office or get your driver's license or whatever, you know. It's a long, drawn-out process. And some things, I want you to understand this, that things that are drawn out, it's a process. It's because it is a process. And it takes time for God to draw you completely out. You know, He drew them out in one day. He drew them out of Egypt bondage. But it took 40 years to get Egypt out of them. And a lady can, in a delivery room, you can draw a baby out of a lady in a few minutes. But it takes a lifetime to draw the lady out of the baby. Did you understand that? It takes a lifetime to turn that baby into a real lady. And you can be born into this kingdom in one day, but it's going to take a lifetime to draw you into a Christian that you need to be. It's a process. It's not a one-time whammo, got the Holy Ghost, see you in heaven. It is a process that God brings us through His drawing power. So I want to use Moses as my little example here, because Pharaoh's daughter goes down to the river and she brings her maidens to go down there to wash. And when she got there, she sees this little ark with maybe not even knowing what's in it, but she sees this little ark floating in the flags. And so the bulrushes, and this was someone's baby. And because all those male children were supposed to die, but God wanted to draw that. He was a proper child. He was a good child. And the Lord wanted to use this baby. Now watch me. He wanted to use this baby. So mama wanted to preserve her baby. She sews and weaves in a little ark. It was called a little ark. And she daubed it with slime so it wouldn't sink. And puts her, who could do that? Puts her little infant inside of this little ark and shoves it out. And Moses' sister is standing on the bank watching to see what will become of it. Well, all of a sudden, Pharaoh's daughter decided it's time to go to the river. See how God works? And so she goes down to the river and she says, what's that? Go get that. Maidens, go get that for me. And she goes and gets this little ark. And inside of this, she said, look, the baby cried. She said, this is one of the Hebrew children. But when the baby cried, she had compassion. God drew her to this baby. And it was supposed to be dead. But God has this drawing power. Even Paul said, the things I once hate, I now love. And the things I once love, I now hate. The drawing changed. I used to be attracted to the world, and now I'm not. I'm attracted to the things of God, and I'm repulsed by the things of the world. And so she looks at this baby, and she says, oh, this is one of those Hebrews, but she wanted to cry too for the baby. And so the maiden said, shall we go find some Hebrew woman to keep the baby for you? And she said, yes. And guess who they get? The mother of the baby. They go and get Moses. God's got such wonderful drawing power. He drew the baby back to its mother. And she became nurse to it. And so the baby begins to grow, and she delivers the baby unto Pharaoh's daughter. And the Bible says, and he became her son. So she began to call him her son, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's why the way the Bible puts it. And she says, I will call his name Moses because I drew him out. Oh, no, you didn't. God drew you to draw him out because God was drawing him to do a great work for Israel. Now, you could get envious of Brother Moses if you want to, and it'd be easy to look and say some princess goes down there. Oh, how sweet. You know, some princess goes down there, and now he's got the best diapers, you know. He's got the Huggy diapers, and all them other maids are changing and washing them like they used to. I remember that. And so, you know, you can be envious of him as he got a little older. He had, you know, the best golf clubs. He had the best chariot. He had the best silverware. You know, he had the best of everything. And you could get envious of Brother Moses real quick because there he is sitting in the palace while they're out there. Must be nice. But unless you're willing to float down the river with the crocodiles, then don't be envious of the prosperity of Moses. Because he had to float down the river at an infant and worry about the crocodile. He wasn't probably cognizant of what was going on. But never envy anybody's prosperity because you don't know what they went through to get it. And so the Lord was drawing this Moses to the palace so he could kind of spy the land out. Do you understand that? He gets to look at all of Egypt. Every place he wants to go, he didn't know it, but he was spying the land out. And then he sees a Hebrew and an Egyptian, and they're fighting. And there was something drew up in him to go defend his brother. I don't know that he went out there and said, boys, what's this about? I think he got him a club. He looked around and bam! Now what's this about? I'm telling you, if anybody attacks my kids, I'm going to beat you up, and then I'll ask you what it's about. Right? That's what you would do too, right? I hope you would. I'm not going to let you beat my kid up. I'm going to beat you up, and then I'm going to say, now what's this about? He may be wrong, and he can apologize, but I'm taking up from my blood just like you do yours. Somebody said, you correct my child anytime you do something wrong. I said, do I look stupid to you? I'm not going to do that. I'll tell you to correct him, but I'm not correcting your child. So anyway, I get my thought back together. Oh, yeah, beaten. He beat up this Egyptian, and he buries him because his heart was really with the Israelites. But when he did that, this thing got out. He said, boy, this thing surely has got out. And he flees, and he goes to the desert. Why? He's going to spy out the desert now. He gets to learn all everything about the desert. Because he's going to travel through the desert too. God was drawing him from one place to another, drawn out by God. And so he goes to the backside of the desert and he sees this bush that's burning and it's not consumed. So he says, I'll turn aside. And he was drawn to the bush. And when he gets there, the Lord said, draw not until you take off your shoes. A sign of humility. Because the ground you're now standing on is my ground. I've drawn you now out of Egypt, and I've drawn you into the desert. But from here on out, you're going to walk in my steps and with me. Take off your shoes because you're on holy ground. God was drawing him into leadership. It only took a moment for the princess to draw him out of the water, but it has taken God now 40 years to get him to the point he can tell him, I'm using you to go back and tell Pharaoh, let my people go, so you can draw them out of their bondage. This is a process of time and not just a moment. Moses goes through, and I preached a sermon called Life Has 340s. And Moses lived 120 years, and there's 340s of his life. And this was one of those 40 years where God was drawing him and using him. And when Moses saw that guy beating the other guy up, something stirred up inside of him. And sometimes it's God has to remind us to draw us. He has to remind us of what's inside of us. If they had not been fighting, Moses would not have risen up. But sometimes God stirs up. You ever been stirred up? Anybody ever been stirred up? I've told people, don't stir me up now. You know, there's things even now that I'm okay with it. But if you bring it up and you start talking about it, then I'm going to start gritting my teeth again. It stirs me up. We got to be careful what stirs us up. Solomon said that a proud heart will stir up strife. Anger, he said, will stir up strife. He said things that are stirred up many times are things that we remember. Even the Apostle Peter said, I stir up your pure heart by way of remembrance. Apostle Paul said to Timothy, he said, I stir up the gift that is within you. Sometimes God's got to stir us up, because you know why? We get complacent. We just get complacent to go to church. And Brother Johnson got on that blue shirt tonight. She's wearing that red. And some people can sit in church and tell you every, pardon me, cotton picking thing. I mean, all the cotton you're wearing. They can tell you what kind of fabric it was. They can tell you what this place. They're so analytical of everything that they never participate in the service. The kingdom of God does not come about by observation. It comes about by participation. So let's not get so caught up in worrying about everybody else. Let's get caught up in being drawn to him and serving him and worshiping him and not what's going on. Oh, Lord, that was free. When Israel would forget about God, he would stir their enemy up. He said one place, I stirred up Moab. It wasn't that he wanted to stir up Moab. He wanted to stir his people up. So he stirred up an adversary, and the adversary stirred them up. Why? So they would remember God. So they'd begin to cry out and remember who their Savior really was. And so we have this time that Israel has forgotten God, and Moses is trying to lead them through the wilderness, and they're complaining and they're grumbling. They forgot the God that brought them out of Egypt bondage. So the Lord said, I'll help them remember me. And so he sent some fiery serpents through the land, and the fiery serpents began to bite the people, and the people began to die. And they said, Moses, entreat that God you serve and tell him to take away them serpents. We remember now who our salvation is. And Moses went to the Lord, Brother Valentine, said, Lord, take away the fiery serpents so the people don't die. He said, no, they've sinned. He said, I tell you what, I'm not taking them away, but I give you a way of escape. Didn't he not always say, through the temptation, I give you a way of escape? He doesn't take the temptation away. He gives you a way of escape through the temptation. So he said, I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to go, you remember that fiery bush? Well, I want you to get some fire and beat out a brazen serpent. And he beat out a snake and he put him on a pole. And he said, raise that pole up so that anyone who has been bitten can come. They'll remember me now. They will come and look upon the fiery serpent and be healed of the poisonous venom from the snake. And so that helped to remind Israel who brought them out of Egypt bondage. I'm telling you, I thank God I got the Holy Ghost when I was very young, like her son did. But I'm telling you, you that are older, you better never forget where God brought you from. And I have to remember where I could have been if it had not been for the mercies of God. Or he'll send a serpent in my life to stir me up and make me remember that could be me if it wasn't for the mercies of God. So Jesus, when he comes to earth, guess what example he uses? Moses. I want to read you about four verses here concerning Moses. John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Okay? They're going to put him symbolically up for Moses, but in reality, Christ will go on the pole and take the place of the serpent. Hallelujah. Oh, there's a message in that. And he will be stretched upon this pole, and anybody who believes on him shall be saved, just as they looked upon the serpent. People in the world that get bit by the serpents of life can come and remember their salvation in the cross. He said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will do what? There we go. I will draw people out. I will draw all men unto me. If I be lifted up,